The Holy Gospel according to John, the 12th chapter. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord. We're right there on the edge, aren't we? So close to spring being here, not just in theory, but in reality. You can really feel it. Afternoon temperatures got up into the 70s, I think 4 days last week. Daffodils are blooming everywhere, along with forsythia bushes and at least a few varieties of cherry trees. Since we springed or sprang or sprung, not sure what the right word is here, our clocks forward, we've had that extra light at the end of the day from a sun that is higher as it crosses the sky, shining differently into the windows of our houses and here too. Soon we'll reach that magical Saturday, when everyone switches out their lawnmowers for their snow throwers, and the sound and smell of gas being run out of small engines fills the air. We're getting close, so close to Holy Week too, aren't we? It's the fifth Sunday in Lent. Already next week at just about this time, we'll be in the midst of our reading of the Passion of our Lord according to Mark. If you've been here for Sundays 1, 2, 3, and 4, you know that we've covered a lot of history in the Old Testament readings assigned for each week. We heard first about the great flood, when God destroyed the earth and all that was on it except for a righteous man named Noah, and his family and animals on an ark. We heard how the rainbow in the sky is the sign of God's promise never to destroy creation by watery chaos again. Next, we heard about Abram and Sarai, how God made the amazing promise to this childless, elderly couple that they would have a son and be the ancestors of a multitude of nations. Along with this news, which was literally laughable to the two of them, Abram and Sarai got new names, Abraham and Sarah, to go along with their new destinies. In week 3, Our Old Testament lesson told the story of the Ten Commandments, how after God rescued Israel from slavery and exile in Egypt, God gave his people a great gift, a way to order their lives and their relationships with their Creator and with other people. We heard God's commands to have no other gods, to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, to honor the lives and relationships and property of those around us. You might remember how well that went. Didn't take long before God's people turned away again. After all of God's gifts to them, of life, of the promise of a great nation, of deliverance from slavery in Egypt, of the Ten Commandments, after all of that, the people grew impatient and rebellious. Again, they spoke against God, doubting God's wisdom, questioning God's ways. And so God punished them, sending poisonous serpents to bite and kill them, as we heard last week, looking at the serpent of bronze Moses made and set on a pole would save them. But it was only a matter of time before God's people would be in more trouble. You'd think that after a couple of thousand years of this, they would have gotten a clue. But by the time of the prophet Jeremiah, whose words Kathy read this morning, God's people were in crisis yet again. Israel had been engaged in fighting with Egypt, caught up in that country's war with Babylon. Kings had come and gone in Jerusalem as they were installed by foreign nations, killed in battle or taken captive. Violence and conflict was a constant part of life as people competed for land and power. As Jeremiah understood it, all of this was happening because once again, people had been unfaithful to God and now they were being punished. Under siege by Babylon, they starved and died from disease in Jerusalem until the city was defeated, destroyed, its people killed or marched off to exile. As you can imagine, this was not a hopeful time, but a time of confusion and despair. And yet, even now, when God might have given up for good on these stubborn people, these people who repeatedly had turned away from God, who just never seemed to get it, who wanted their own way, who sought their own sinful, rebellious path over and over, even now, when God might have finally left them to their own pitiful devices, God persisted in love. And through the prophet Jeremiah, in the midst of what appeared to be hopeless, God announced a new covenant. God promised to forgive their sin and to etch his law, not on tablets of stone, but on their hearts. God would change people from within. Now, we know that story isn't going to end with "and they all lived happily ever after," don't we? It's not usually how it goes with us mortal creatures. Give or take a few thousand years, we're pretty much like God's people of old. The ones who repeatedly disappointed God, who fought and killed each other, who whined about what they had and what they thought they should have, who thought they knew better, who failed to keep God's commandments, who turned away, thinking they didn't actually need God at all. This season of Lent is when we get real about the fact that that's still who we human beings are, That's still how we act. That's still how far we fall short. But as much as Lent is about us and our need to admit and confess our brokenness, Lent is so much more about God. God, who just won't ever give up, who persists in love, relentlessly pursuing us, reaching out to us time and time and time again. This God of ours even goes so far as to become one of us. And on a terrible and yet good Friday, the Son of Man, the Word made flesh and bone and blood, is lifted up from the earth on a cross. On that cross, he stretches out his arms and pulls all of us stubborn, rebellious, sinful people back in, embracing us with his forgiveness and mercy once and for all and for always. And know this, my brothers and sisters. Nothing we do, nothing you do, can defeat God's relentless, abiding love. As many times as we people of God turn away, as many times as we break God's heart with our stubbornness, our rebellion, our sin, we are never beyond the reach of God's love. It is never too late for forgiveness, for mercy, for redemption. It is never too late for any of it, for any of us.